I think there's a whole piece about embracing your vulnerability, because this wins people over. And I'm saying this to 400 paratroopers who, that's a completely alien concept to them. And so like, there's a bit of heckling and all this good stuff. And I was like, that heckling, I could then use it to make my point of like, yes, and you can heckle me. That makes me feel vulnerable. That's me demonstrating a bit of vulnerability. Let's talk about it. Welcome everyone. This is the Delta Pod. I'm Dave. Today, we are talking about pressure, or the pressure that comes with performance, the pressure of performing. And we've been talking about performance in the last few episodes, and this is going to be a bit of an exploration of some of my thoughts around it. And I was, as always, I'll end with a few kind of questions for you to go and consider. A hypothesis. Are you on the stage ready for the pressure when the lights come on? Now, you may not actually be on the stage, but the force against you is there. It's there any time you do anything. It's internal and external interferences and frictions that want to drag you down off the stage and into the crowd. And so when we talk about the pressure of performance, this kind of aligns with some of the conversations we've had previously around the higher our performance, the greater the drag factors. We have these two concepts of interferences and frictions. So if you think of it like, and I'm going to talk about a thing called the performance curve in one of these episodes, but this performance curve takes us from low performance into high performance. And as we start to move up the curve, the thing which is trying to flatten the curve, trying to flatten it into a horizontal line, is the interferences and frictions in our life. And that for me is perhaps a different phrase for pressure, the pressures which come with trying to perform. And I think pressure, like this, the phrase, you'll see it lots of places, and I'm going to use it a little bit here, is the whole pressure is a privilege piece is true, but equally, I say the correct pressure is privilege. We need to think about ourselves, where we're going, how does this pressure align with where I'm going? And we think of pressure as a catalyst, right? It's a catalyst. It's like when metal is tempered and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, it's placed under pressure, like diamonds are created under pressure, all that good stuff. But we shouldn't just seek pressure in every random place. We need to be intentional about how we place ourselves under pressure, because it can break us if we're brittle. And that's where resilience comes into us. And we spoke about resilience a few spaces in the last few episodes. So this pressure, all of force, is the reason we need resilience. Any movement forward in life will be met by life's own drag. Now, if you think of a plane, like a plane, drag is important because without the drag forces and the physics of flight, it's going to be quite hard for it, or the plane can't fly. So drag is a kind of component of building lift. So without the drag forces in your life, you wouldn't have necessarily the strength that you have today. So you are who you are because of the pressures you faced previously. The interferences that come against us are vital to our growth, right? So interferences, for me to define that, I see as interference as something which is external to me. Whereas a friction might be something internal, might be that my thoughts, might be my natural laziness or anything. It could be my physical nature. The friction might be that I'm not strong enough to do something, or I'm not fit enough to do something. So interference is external. Frictions are like me and stuff I can kind of control. So the interferences that come against us are vital to our growth. You might not see it that way. It might be crap. It might be really rubbish what's happening to you. But that growth is like the drag to the plane. It's going to help you fly if you can get through it, if you can step back, view it objectively, and grow through it. For me, I felt like there's a very clear point in my life where I needed to be at my most resilient, and it's when I left the military. So I left the military in 2018. I left it to try and save a failing marriage. The opposite happened. Things just unpinned and it just went south really quickly. Ended up getting divorced or separating within the year. It just continued to go downhill. And if you think in that moment, I had lost the brotherhood and the kind of structure of the military. I then lost the structure of my home. I had to leave house and family and kids. I lost all that structure. I then had lost or any kind of resilience I might have had in knowing what I was doing, because, or the phrase of self-efficacy, because I was in a new job, in a new world, a civilian world. So all of that at the time was crushing me. And it was one of those, it's a good example where I was just treading water. I was just trying to keep my head above water. I wasn't swimming fast. I was just trying to float, right? And just in that time, like withstanding these various pressures of life, and they build up, right? It's very easy to look at pressure in this very focused way. I've got to perform in this meeting and the pressure of that meeting, but pressure's never that isolated. There's going to be pressures from our whole life holistically. So I felt it. There was this period, probably 2 years, 2018, 19, coming into 2020 actually, because of isolation and all the lockdowns and everything, I actually kind of managed to find a natural rhythm, and it kind of helped me step up, like stop treading water and start swimming and actually being a bit more intentional with life. So that was my kind of moment where I was being refined, I think. And there's been multiple times in my life where I feel like I've been refined in the pressure of having to perform or just live through life. And resilience is key in all this. Resilience is a tool required to get you through this pressure. Resilience in action to keep you moving forward. Now, there's another type of resilience, which I talk about, where you can have resilience to recover. All right, so if something's broken and I need to recover, when I ran London Marathon, I tore my calf about 8 weeks before. And so if I just continued to run, and as I normally was, and I'm being resilient, I'm keeping moving forward, that probably would have made things worse. Whereas I needed to embrace a resilience of recovery. And actually, I've got to step back. I've got to stop running for a bit. I've got to embrace recovery, but still keep moving forward. It's still resilience, but it's from a strategy of recovery, right? So there's and when we're having this pressure of performing, when it's on us, yes, it's a privilege, but we want to embrace the right level of pressure to grow in the right direction, because it's going to grow us however we like it. It's going to change us however we like it, whether it's going to break us or form us into a diamond, I suppose, is a better way of thinking of it. So if you think that those drag forces of my time, like as I was leaving the military, 2017, 2018, 2019, that period there is what's created me and who I am today. So if you look at your life, you could go back and look at your life and say, well, how is my pressure and the pressure in my life and perhaps the times where I've stepped up to perform and I haven't necessarily landed as I wanted to, or it's gone brilliantly and I've nailed it and I've sailed through the pressure. Well, analyze those times, right? Those times have built you into who you are today. And it's very interesting. I think I'm not a psychologist, but if you look at childhood trauma, it could be like one moment in your childhood where you felt like you failed in front of everyone on the stage in the nativity play in your primary school, right? And it's interesting how those things start to build narratives in our heads and beliefs in our head. So the pressures of performing can really start to govern who we are to a certain degree. I think just some thoughts on this, like a model I try to use, and when we're doing coaching, I try to use this model, and you've heard me talk about it before, is the model of the pantomime performance. All right, so performance is something we do, right? We deliver a performance. And so if I say to you, right, you are going out and got to perform in your local town's Christmas pantomime or theatre production, you're not just going to turn up on a day, right? You're not going to turn up today and, right, let's go perform. You're going to prepare for it. You might have some anxiety and nerves before it. And so you're going to do something before. You're then going to turn up and you're going to work through the pressure. There's going to be pressure, right? And I think when we think about pressure, it will feel it, but there's going to be environmental factors to it, right? I've got to brief all these important people in this room in my corporate setting. So I'm stood up and there's a screen and there's everyone looking at me, and there's distractions and there's alarms going off outside and all this kind of stuff, which is going to distract me from delivering what I need to deliver and doing it with purpose and intentionality rather than speaking really fast and clicking through the slides, right? It's how do I stand up and deliver a performance in that meeting? Here's an interesting one. When I get home from work and I've got to look after my kids and they're all screaming and shouting, and how do I perform in that time, right? What does a performance look like? And all performances come to an end. So in this pantomime, you're doing something before it, you're then turning up, and in the pantomime model, the reason I use pantomime is in a pantomime, you get heckled. It's a bit like a comedy. It is a comedy show for the fuller family, but you're going to get heckled and people might be like, and you're as a, in the pantomime, you're encouraging heckling. You want people to shout stuff at you, but they don't, obviously you can't script that. So people are shouting stuff at you. You've got the lights. I don't know if you've ever stood on a stage, but when you stand on a stage and the lights are on you, you can't really see people beyond that. The lights kind of are blinding you to a certain degree. So you don't necessarily know who you're talking to. So there's all these pressures of the lights and people heckling and like people not laughing when they should be laughing because that's what you thought was a funny joke. All those kind of pieces build this pressure. So the key bit for a podcast that's talking about the pressure of performing is, well, how do we do it? How do we deal with this pressure? How do we kind of navigate it? And we spoke about interferences and frictions. And there's a number of things you can do when you have interferences and frictions in your life. There's four treatments you might have. You can navigate them, you can work around them, you can remove them, get rid of them, reduce. And then lastly, embrace. For me, like when I have to prepare and I have to prepare for these podcasts, I have to prepare for, I work in technology and when I'm doing stuff with my coaching clients and then when I'm delivering coaching workshops, all of that requires me to stand up and be performing. I will always do stuff beforehand. The preparation is massive here, and that gives you your faith in your ability to walk into it. So walk into it and deliver. And through that experience of delivery, then get that preparation time might reduce, but you're never going to fully get rid of it. It might be 10 seconds before you walk out and do whatever you want to do, but you're always going to have some level of preparation. And the more, like I said, the more you have to perform that given task in that given setting, you might reduce. So these podcasts, I've done them quite a few times. And actually, I'm looking at my laptop here. I'm looking at notes. I've been making notes on a number of the episodes. And I've planned out, let's see what we're up to now, 105-ish, right, with notes, right? And so this episode, I thought about probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And I've just been tweaking some notes, rereading them before this. So that preparation time is... it's an interesting one because when you start writing things down, you're like, oh, actually, I don't know that. Oh, I don't know this. And you can get to the point where actually I feel less confident in my ability. And so this is where the second point is really important is do it scared. Don't rush. Pause. Think and communicate. We're never going to be ready, ever. Who am I to talk to you about the pressure of performing? That's a constant doubt in my head. But I feel like I've done it a few times and actually it's something I see routinely in coaching clients. And you see people not stand up and deal with the pressure performing well. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? How do we get amongst this? And I suppose that's why I feel like I've been thinking about it. I look at my own life. I get nervous. I'm not naturally built to be in front of people. I think I'm naturally an introvert and I can stand up and be an extrovert if I need to, but it's not necessarily a place I feel is my natural position. So point one was how do we deal with pressure? Preparation builds confidence and resilience in you and your plan. Point two, during your performance, don't rush, pause, think and communicate. An interesting one here is if you ever want to win a sibling argument, all you have to do is pause, don't rush and communicate. Now it depends who has the moral high ground, I suppose. But Another example is in the military. So I was an officer in the military and you do various military courses. One of them involves some media training. On that media training, they teach you this thing called the ABC model, which is acknowledge, bridge, communicate. And you see politicians do this brilliantly, right? And if there's someone's asking you a question or it's very directed, here's a kind of bit of pressure, acknowledge it. Thank you, that's a great question. Now you don't want to answer it because it's, you might not have the answer to that question, or you might be unprepared for that question, or you might be unprepared for that situation. How do you bridge into a situation where you are confident communicating or doing something which you want to do? So if I'm heckling you on the pantomime stage and it's about something random, you don't know what they're talking about, well, I need to communicate something which I'm confident about. I don't want to get sucked into your world. I need to deal with my world, something I'm prepared for. And that's all what Acknowledge Bridge Communicate is all about. I think there's a whole piece about embracing your vulnerability because this wins people over. I've learned this, I suppose, the hard way in that one of the things during my coaching, I got asked to go and work with a British military unit who had just returned from Afghanistan. And I said just returned like the day before, just returned, and they had to go through a series of briefs. They had to have a certain amount of time to decompress. And so I, through some military network stuff, was asked to go down and talk about resilience and performance, or specifically mental resilience. And I knew the audience, right, and I knew it was going to be big groups. And I thought, what I can't do is turn up and be like, yeah, I was in the military and pull up a sandbag and kind of compete with them on the militariness. Actually, what I need to do is go in another direction. I want to try and demonstrate that I'm a human and that we're all humans and that the stuff you've just been through, and some of the guys are literally like a week before me dealing with like suicide bombers and all sorts of carnage. the stuff you've been dealing with, you are human, right? It's going to have affected you. And so I needed to demonstrate that I was a bit vulnerable. And so the way I did that, and I was going to talk about vulnerability throughout the talk, was when I introduced myself, I went out my way to tell them I was a Christian and that I believe in the gospel and all this good stuff. And I'm saying this to 400 paratroopers who, that's a completely alien concept to them. And so like, there's a bit of heckling and all this good stuff. And I was like, that heckling, I could then use it to make my point of like, yes, and you can heckle me. That makes me feel vulnerable. That's me demonstrating a bit of vulnerability. Let's talk about it, right? Stop having this facade of trying to be, I have all the answers and I'm a robot. And if you do this during the pressure of performance or right at the beginning, setting up that position, it actually enables you to deliver better performances and also meet your audience better, engage with the audience better. And the last bit I would say in terms of how do we get better at dealing with the pressure of performing is seek experiences that will expose you to having to practice making it up on the spot. In the military, there's a phrase called no cuff too tough. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's referring to the cuff of your sleeve. But really what it means is I hadn't planned for this scenario. I'm going to use my intelligence, my experience and my sheer grit to get us through it. Right, we're going to get through this. I'm going to be creative. Let's go. It's all about overcoming a hurdle, not backing away from it. So seek experiences where you can do that. If there's the opportunity to step in and do a presentation last minute, well, do that and use some of the previous points. Do a couple of minutes of preparation. Don't rush, pause, think and communicate. Build it, this environment of, yes, I'm here being a bit vulnerable. And use those things, but seek those experiences. And the more you can experience these pressures, the better you'll get at navigating them, embracing them, and helping them form you into who you need to be. And so as we end, some questions. Have you ever analysed a previous performance? I would propose you should. Look at a job interview. Like, I think most of us have experience doing job interviews. The interesting thing about job interviews are I find them incredibly impersonal and they're very objective. And so you either do or don't get a job. Where are the job interviews where you failed and you didn't get the job? Well, how can I learn from that? What did I not prepare well with it? Or what could I have done better? Sporting performance is another great one, right? You are there, people are watching you, you've got to deliver, you're part of a team or you're individual. How can I improve those things? The art of analysing yourself builds self-reflection, and that self-reflection is really in the willingness to be vulnerable. Say, how can I be better? I'm not perfect, how can I be better? So that's an important one. Next one is, how do you prepare? Do you prepare? Prepare and over-prepare. And an example from my life I would share here is so to be an officer in the British Army, you have to go through a place called the Royal Military Academy of Sandhurst, which is this big fancy school, like military school. And to get into that, you have to go through like a three-phase assessment process. One of them is called the Army Officer Selection Board, which is 3 days where you go and do some fitness tests and you do some like leaderless tasks and they're assessing your kind of brain as well as your communication ability and your leadership stuff. And then there's three interviews during this phase. One of them, it's called an education interview, but it's not an education interview. So I'm sat on this side of the desk, the interviewer sat on the other side of the desk, and it's a very senior officer, and they've got a series of questions in front of them and they just file them at you. And they're basically looking at you to see if you can come up with the answer or buckle, or how do you deal with it? And the answers are all mental arithmetic or logic-based questions. And so I knew this was coming and I'd done my research, I prepared, I understood the problem. So, and I also knew I wasn't very good at maths. So I went to my family and my girlfriend at the time and I'd prepared. I got some extra maths tuition. I was doing GCSE maths, got really good at it, like non-calculated stuff, all arithmetic. And then I gave them like 100 questions. And I said, right, ask me these at random. And I did that a lot, right? So my preparation was there. And then when I did this interview, I don't want to say I smashed it, but I got into Sandhurst, right? And actually, I felt confident going into it. I knew that there's going to be a load of unknowns. I don't know what level of maths are going to ask me, but I'm pretty good at long division now and long multiplication. And if I need to, I can get a pen and a paper and I can take my time and figure it out. And actually, at one point, I had to say, right, I'll just take a moment, thank you. Take a couple of minutes, right, here's your answer. And you don't have to have the answer. You don't have to be Bill Gates and be amazing at mental arithmetic, as long as I could find the answer. So prep, over-prepare. Like I felt over-prepared going to these things. Like I was super fit. I knew I was competing, because you are competing, there's only so many spaces. In my little group going through that Army Officer Selection Board, there was astrophysicists, there was like lawyers who were qualified and had been working as lawyers, people with like two master's degrees, and I was there with no degree, having come from the ranks, being like, who the hell am I to stand against these people? And I got in straight away, and two of them, the astrophysicist and the lawyer, didn't get in at all. My third question to you is, how do you deal with fear? When's the last time you did something scared? This whole pressure is a privilege. It's a privilege because it's a catalyst for your growth. But with pressure comes anxiety, comes fear. And we spoke about that, the whole fear versus faith piece previously. And it's a podcast perhaps go back and listen to. When's the last time you did something scared, when you were scared? You have to work through fear. And that goes back to my, in this, that little model where I'm saying, seek experiences that will expose you. And they're going to expose you to being scared and having to make up as you go along, maybe failing, being vulnerable. And the more you do that, when it comes to a time when it actually counts, you'll be ready. So that's my thoughts on the pressure of performing. I'd love to know what you think in any, wherever you see this. Please, we're growing. We've got people listening from across the globe. Please give it a like, share it with your mates. It really helps. And so it's the last question. Who do you think you could share this with? Who could you help by sharing this podcast with? That would be bless me, but it would bless your mate as well. Thank you. This has been the Delta Pod.